Coming up on Locked On Dodgers, the Dodgers, for the first time in years, have a general manager. We're going to talk about new GM Brandon Gomes, plus a couple former Dodgers who might be future Dodgers in Yasiel Puig and Zach Greinke, and then we'll talk about the Lakers a little bit. So let's get Locked On Dodgers.
You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Dodger fans. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential, and this is Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Vince and I are doing a split episode, so he will be with you for the second half of this show. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. Remember, this show is free and available on all podcast platforms and on YouTube simply by searching for Locked On Dodgers. This is the daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, the Dodgers, for the first time in several years since Farhan Zaidi left to go to the Giants, the Dodgers have an official general manager. For the last several years, they've had Andrew Friedman, the president of baseball operations, and then three assistant general managers, which, you know, leads to the question, who are they assisting, if not a general manager? The assistant to the regional manager, like Dwight Schrute. But no, of course, they were assisting Andrew Friedman. But now, one of those assistant GMs, Brandon Gomes, is officially the general manager. They still have a couple assistant GMs, plus they have Andrew Friedman as the president of baseball operations. I think the main story here is that Brandon Gomes was in high demand, and the Dodgers realized that they were going to lose him if they did not promote him to the general manager title. And for me, what that says is Brandon Gomes must be really, really good. Andrew Friedman knows Brandon Gomes better than anybody. He was his general manager in Tampa Bay when Gomes was a player. He's been his boss with the Dodgers for years now. Gomes started as the director of player development and did a really good job in that role. The Dodgers have one of the best player development systems, probably the best player development system in baseball. And so just every step of the way, Brandon Gomes has been outstanding. And you might call his rise meteoric if you were into cliches. And that would be okay because, yeah, he's young. He's only 5 or 6 years ago, he was a baseball player. And now he is a general manager. That's pretty darn quick. And he pitched, I think, in the big leagues for like 5 years. And now he's the Dodgers general manager. And so he talked with John Hartung on Sportsnet LA about what this new promotion will mean for him as far as his duties compared to what he has been doing. And I thought his response was pretty interesting. I'm going to play it for you now.
Yeah, we haven't spoken about that too much. I think it's just continuing to be a part of the major league team and the operations that go in day in, day out, with still an emphasis on player development. So I think it's probably taking on a bit more of the media component. But the day-to-day, not sure it'll change all that much.
So yeah, like Gomes said, his daily job is probably not changing much because, like I said, the Dodgers didn't have a general manager. He's been doing that job. We don't know exactly what role he played in what aspects of Dodgers player development and player acquisition, all that stuff, over the years that he was an assistant GM, because, you know, it's not like the Dodgers would publicize, hey, we traded for Max Scherzer, and here's whose idea that was. All we know is that he was part of a really good team, and he remains part of a really good team. And the main difference might be that he's the one talking to the media more often. And I think that's okay, because just seeing him talking to Hartung, he seems like a really, really smart guy. Like, obviously he's a really smart guy. Andrew Friedman puts a lot of trust in him. And, you know, I'm not a Friedman simp or whatever the kids say these days, but I believe that Andrew Friedman is the best executive in baseball. And so if he is this high on Brandon Gomes, guess what? I am too, just by default. And he's going to have to prove to me that he's not that. Hartung did ask him about specific plans, you know, what specific parts of the roster do they want to address? And I was pretty impressed that even though Gomes has only been a general manager for like 12 hours right now, as I'm recording this, he already has the cliche game and the non-answer answer down pat pretty well. Here's his response when Hartung asked him about what specific plans and specific areas of the roster the Dodgers want to address once the lockout ends.
I think we're trying to find ways to improve at every turn. So We'll just keep assessing the market and, you know, potential trades and go from there. But we're going to try to put out the best, most competitive team possible to go out and win another championship.
Breaking news. Good team wants to be good. We're going to try to get good players. So, you know, it's not any new information, but, you know, it did kind of underscore the weirdness of doing an interview with a general manager during a lockout when he's not allowed to even say any names. You know, I mean, Hartung started one of his questions with, so you guys lost a couple key free agents and, you know, what are your plans to, and, you know, Hartung didn't say Scherzer or Seager, and Gomes didn't say Scherzer or Seager. It was just, you know, this, you know, we are not, nobody involved is allowed to say the names of any 40-man roster players. Guess what? We here at Locked On Dodgers, we're allowed to say any names we want. Corey Drew Seager, Max Elizabeth Scherzer. I'm not sure what Max Scherzer's name, middle name is. It might be Elizabeth. I'm not sure. But, you know, but then Hartung kind of gave Gomes the reminder, wink and nod, go ahead. Hey, guess what? I'm going to ask you about two guys by name who aren't on the 40-man roster, so you are allowed to talk about them. And while Gomes didn't actually mention their names in his response, he was specifically responding to Hartung's question about Ryan Pepiot and Bobby Miller, specifically asking what the Dodgers, if the Dodgers plan on Pepiot and Miller being a part of their major league plan this year in 2022. Here's what Gomes said about that.
I think both of those guys are incredibly talented pitchers. The goal for this year for both of them will be to continue to refine their arsenal, and we hold all of our players to a major league standard. So we'll keep assessing how they progress on those fronts and, you know, tackling different pitch design or pitch usage marks that we'll lay out for them. But incredibly talented guys that we hope impact the major league team sooner than later.
So even that, with guys he's allowed to talk about, obviously it's in Gomes' best interest to not play his cards too quickly. A lot of it is he doesn't know the answer because he doesn't know what his pitching staff is going to look like. So some of whether Pepiot and Miller have a big impact on the Dodgers pitching staff this year will have to do with what they do the rest of the offseason after the lockout ends. And, you know, we don't know what the answer is going to be to that. And neither does Brandon Gomes at this point. But, you know, hearing him talk about those guys as incredibly talented, mentioned that a couple times, and you know, I'm excited about Ryan Pepiot and Bobby Miller. I think most of our listeners probably are too. And honestly, I'm excited about Brandon Gomes as a general manager. It's not a big change, but that's good because the Dodgers have one of the best front offices in baseball, maybe the best. And so not a big change is actually a really good thing because the alternative was losing Brandon Gomes to a different team. That would have been a big change and it would have been a negative one. So I applaud the Dodgers for stepping up and giving Brandon Gomes this promotion, putting him in this position to keep him, because I think he is going to be a really good general manager. And, you know, like I said, we don't know what role he played in which acquisitions and, you know, what parts of player development since he's left the role of the official player development director, how much Vandy's played in that. But what we do know is that Andrew Friedman, who's very smart, likes Brandon Gomes a lot. And so I do too. And I think that's about all I have to say about Gomes. I'm excited to see what he can do. And hopefully this lockout ends soon so that he can, you know, do what he's going to do. So I'm going to come back in a minute. I'm going to talk about a couple former Dodgers, Zach Greinke and Yasiel Puig, and the possibility of each of them becoming future Dodgers or once again Dodgers. So thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day, and keep it Locked On Dodgers. Hey, it's a new year. That means New Year's resolutions. And if you're like a lot of people, you probably want to eat better. And guess what? Built Bar is the way to eat better in more ways than one, because it tastes better and it's better for you. So when you want something delicious to eat, don't grab yourself a Butterfinger or a Snickers, because instead of eating one of those that has hundreds of calories and dozens of carbs, go for a Built Bar that has like 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar and carbs, plus 17 grams of protein. So you can have that delicious candy bar and feel good about it. They have a ton of different flavors. There's going to be something you like. Order yourself a mix box if you're not sure what you like, or if you do know what you want, go ahead and just order those. And when you do go to buy, just go to built.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and you will get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. All right. Couple interesting things going around on the social medias related to the Dodgers on Tuesday. One of them, so our friends over at Dodgers Nation, Clint Pacias and Brooke Smith, they host the Blue Heaven on Earth podcast over there at Dodgers Nation. Clint and Brooke, both great guys. I really like both of them. I consider them friends. I've been a guest on their show. Really, really good dudes, and they're smart. They know they're Dodgers. But I have to say, Clint said something dumb. And I believe that friends need to call each other out when they do something dumb or say something dumb. So that's what I'm doing here. Clint Pacias, you're on notice. Clint said that at this point he would rather have Zach Greinke back than Clayton Kershaw. And, you know, that was the whole clip that I saw. I haven't watched the whole episode. Maybe there was more context given. But the clip I saw was shared by the Blue Heaven on Earth podcast. This was the point they wanted to get out. So if I am misrepresenting Clint's point, that's their fault for putting it out there in that form. My guess, if I had to guess, and this is maybe me being charitable, I always assume positive intent. I would guess that Clint is factoring in salaries, you know, assuming that Kershaw would demand a higher salary than Greinke would at this point. So maybe he's factoring that in. Even then, though, the fact is Clayton Kershaw, when he's healthy, is still a very good pitcher. Zach Greinke is maybe more durable, maybe more likely to remain healthy, but he is not as good as Clayton Kershaw. He's 4.5 years older than Kershaw, and he's already worse anyway. And so to say you'd rather have Greinke than Kershaw, I have a hard time finding any actual rational justification for that position. That said, Zach Greinke is a guy I would love to have back under the right circumstances. I would love to have Zach Greinke come in the role of fifth starter with a rubber arm, innings eater kind of guy with a little bit of upside, maybe give you a gem once in a while. I think that is a role that I think we saw in 2021, that having an innings eater who you can depend on to go out there every fifth day and throw you six innings, that's really, really valuable. The Dodgers didn't have that. They had way too many bullpen games. You know, some of that, you know, there was injuries. There was Trevor Bauer's situation. The Dodgers had a really rough year pitching-wise, just circumstantially. And a guy like Zach Greinke could really fill that hole and provide a lot of value as a fifth starter. He's not going to throw you many gems. He's not going to win 20 games. He's not going to have a great ERA, but if he could come in, you know, his last couple of years, his ERA has been right around 4. If he could come in and have a 4 ERA and throw 171 innings like he did last year, there is a ton of value in that. It's not to exceed Clayton Kershaw's value, but there is value in that. And bringing back him and Kershaw, I love the idea. Greinke and Kershaw are great friends. They loved playing together. And in 2015, they were the best 1-2 punch we've seen in baseball in a long, long time. They should have finished 1-2 in the Cy Young voting. Instead, they finished 2-3 behind Jake Arrieta. But the bottom line is 2015 Kershaw and Greinke, so much fun to watch. And, you know, neither of them is the pitcher that he was in 2015. That's okay. You know, the Dodgers would know what they're getting. And I would love to see those guys together in Dodger blue. I really like Zach Greinke. My wife still has her Greinke jersey. I don't know what number he'd wear because Walker Buehler has taken his number 21, but that's okay. They could figure that out. Bottom line is Zach Greinke could fill a very important role on this team, and I would really like to see that. So I am on board with Zach Greinke coming back to the Dodgers, but Clint Pacias, let me reiterate, what you said was bad and wrong, and you need to apologize to me. I'll wait. Okay, thank you, Clint. I appreciate that apology. Apology accepted. We can go back to just being really good friends. You're a smart guy. I like you. Don't say something dumb like that again, okay? All right. Moving on to another former Dodger. In fact, another former Dodger who famously does not get along with the former Dodger we just talked about. That's Yasiel Puig. I saw a tweet that it was from CBS Los Angeles, I think, saying Yasiel Puig wants to come back to the Dodgers, ? And I'm just going to read you the transcript of what Puig said, because it's pretty straightforward and blunt. He says, people still talk to me and text me about, hey, come back to Los Angeles. We're going to do the best we can here every day in Korea for this season and the next season to come back to the United States and hope that God gives me the opportunity one day to come back to the Dodgers. Yeah, Puig is playing in Korea right now, trying to rebuild that value. You know, obviously, maybe some of it is just having an opportunity to play with a lockout going on and everything. But I think, you know, Puig's market was limited. But if he can go over there and have a lot of success in Korea, maybe it does recreate his market here in the United States. And I was a little bit surprised that Puig actually named the Dodgers by name. I think Puig loved being a Dodger in a lot of ways. And honestly, there's a big part of me. I have a big soft spot for Yasiel Puig. There's part of me that would love to have him back, especially, you know, he's 31 years old now, theoretically maybe more mature than he has been at times in the past. There's a part of me that still struggles forgiving Yasiel Puig for his lack of coachability. You know, what we learned about his refusal to take positioning direction from the coaching staff. And, you know, I was at game two of the 2017 World Series. My seats back then were right down the right field line. So I had a really good view of that ground rule double that Brandon Morrow gave up that Yasiel Puig almost got to. And then finding out that if Puig had been playing where he was told to, he would have caught that. And that literally would have saved that game for the Dodgers, which means, you know, math lesson, when you lose a World Series 4-3, flipping the result of one game, guess what? That's the series. The Dodgers would have won the World Series if Yasiel Puig makes that play. Obviously, there's a lot of other reasons the Dodgers should have won that World Series. I know the Astros cheated. I'm aware. They are cheaters. They're the worst. But Yasiel Puig also cost the Dodgers that World Series. That's hard for me to get past. But I still have a soft spot for Puig. He was one of my favorite players. I loved watching Puig play. He is immensely talented, athletic, just ridiculously fun to watch. And I would like to see that again. It's probably not going to happen at the same time as Greinke because they famously hate each other. You know, several years ago, Annie Van Slyke said on a radio interview that the Dodgers' highest paid player wants Yasiel Puig gone or something along those lines. And everybody ran with it and just said it was Clayton Kershaw because Kershaw was the Dodgers' highest paid player. I was convinced at the time, and I remain convinced, that Van Slyke was talking about Zach Greinke. You know, Van Slyke's son Scott was on the team, so it's kind of a game of telephone. My son told me that somebody told him that somebody told him, blah, 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 blah. And I think Andy Van Slyke probably was referring to Zach Greinke when he said the highest paid player on the team, because he was one of the highest paid players, and they very notably did not like each other. So it's probably not in the cards for Greinke and Puig to come back to the Dodgers at the same time. But, you know, Greinke in 2022, Puig in 2023 or 24, yeah, I'm on board. I am open to the idea. I think given the right situation with the right expectations, both of them could contribute to the Dodgers in a meaningful way, even if it's not at the superstar level that we used to expect from them. So that's my thoughts on those two former and maybe future Dodgers. And I think that's about going to wrap it up for me for today. Vince is going to come. He's going to talk to you about the Lakers a little bit as they relate to the Dodgers, and maybe just talk a little bit about how, you know, maybe spoiled we are as Dodger fans. So I really appreciate you guys making Locked On Dodgers your first listen every day. It means a ton to us. Hope you will continue to do that. And Vince will be along in a minute.
2022, and BetOnline wants to wish you a happy new betting year as sports continues their march to the playoffs and beyond. You got football in the playoffs. You got basketball and hockey on their way to the playoffs. There's a lot of sports going on, and BetOnline remains the number one spot for all the best sports wagering action for 2022. It's a new year, and they've got a new website. And right now, you can get 50% welcome bonus after your first deposit when you sign up at BetOnline if you use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's promo code LOCKEDON at BetOnline, and you'll get a 50% welcome bonus after your first deposit. Go sign up today. From basketball, football, hockey, boxing, UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for 2022. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, yo, Dodger fans. Vince here to close out the episode. And like Jeff mentioned, I kind of wanted to talk about the Dodgers in comparison to the Lakers, specifically ownership and how things are going for both franchises right now. And the Lakers, you know, let's just put it out there. Lakers, yes, 17 championships in their history. They obviously have been, you know, a well-run organization for a long, long time. But I do think that recently we've seen some cracks there that make them a little less stable than they have been in the past. It hasn't, it's been a very bumpy road here the last few years. And on the flip side, the Dodgers have been probably the most stable franchise in Los Angeles over the last 10 years for sure. Since it's almost been 10 years since Friedman and since Guggenheim and Co. took over, and then Andrew Friedman took over in the front office. And it stems from the report, the Lakers just had their best win of the season the other day against the Utah Jazz. And the report the next day was that Frank Vogel, the head coach, was pretty much coaching for his job, that if they had lost the night before, who knows if he would have been still had a job in the morning. And then another report came out that said that he's not, you know, going to lose his job imminently. And then there was a report that Kurt Rambis is still involved with the team and in meetings and wants to play more traditional basketball, which if you guys don't know about Kurt Rambis, former Laker legend of sorts, but has failed miserably in his roles as head coach, assistant coach, whatever the case is. He can't let go of old school traditional basketball and probably shouldn't be, you know, in coaches' meetings for a team that is trying to be good. So it's been a mess a little bit this year. It's been a mess in the past. You know, they could have had Tyronn Lue, who's now the coach of the Clippers, but they didn't want to give him the money. So, you know, they ended up with Frank Vogel. It ended up working out. They did win a championship with Frank Vogel, but, you know, it doesn't seem like everyone's on the same page there. You had the Magic Johnson fiasco from a few years ago where he basically just left and said, I'd rather tweet and be on vacation than, you know, be in charge and helping run the Lakers. So it's been a tumultuous situation for a few years now. And it just makes me appreciate the Dodgers and how the separation of ownership and the front office and, you know, everything that trickles down from there. Yes, we hear Stan Kasten talk sometimes. We don't really hear too much of the other owners talk. We see Magic because he's you know, an LA sports icon. But, you know, when Stan Kasten talks, he usually defers any real questions about the roster to the next man in charge, which is Andrew Friedman, president of baseball operations. Now, Andrew Friedman has somebody to pass it down to, a Brandon Gomes, a new GM. And it's very clear what the hierarchy is. The clear separation of front office and ownership, where you don't necessarily see that with the Lakers. Yes, there is a head, you know, there's a head coach, and then there's the ownership, the buses, and then there's Rob Pelinka, GM. But it doesn't seem like they communicate very well. There's, you know, it doesn't seem like they all have each other's backs. They're all on the same page. They're all fighting for the same thing. It seems like they all kind of have separate agendas that kind of lead up into, yeah, the Lakers, you know, wanting to the Lakers to be good, but I don't think they're a united front by any means. It doesn't seem like they are. Some of these leaks and reports that are coming, you know, wouldn't be coming in a situation that's, you know, strong and stable. You know, we've even if the Dodgers have considered moving on from Dave Roberts, which I don't think they have, we have never heard anything. We have never, you know, never even had an inkling of that. We, you know, Andrew Friedman, never an inkling there about anybody else below him. You know, Stan Kasten's always there to make sure everybody knows what's going on. And it kind of seems like, Andrew Friedman, you're in charge of the baseball stuff. You can come ask us for money, or, you know, is it cool if I do this? And then ownership can sign off. And that's really all ownership should be doing in this sense. You know, you see other teams where the Cowboys specifically just had another first-round playoff loss. They haven't done anything since the mid-90s, and Jerry Jones is the owner and the GM, and it's just, you know, a mess. You can't do everything. You can't – it's very hard to control everything up top, control everything on the day-to-day in terms of the team on the field, and it's, you know, hard to not have that separation. You need somebody to check you, and while there may be some people that can check Jerry Jones or, in the Lakers' case, the buses – at the end of the day, they don't get checked like that. And I think that's where the Dodgers really succeed in having this tier and, you know, clear cut roles, and everybody knows what the role is. It's very, very similar to, you know, the actual roster with Dave Roberts. And we've talked about him being a people manager. Everybody in that locker room knows their role. You know, whether you're a platoon player, hey, you know what, you're going to play once or twice a week and come off the bench in key pinch hitting situations. Hey, you're a closer. Hey, you know what, you're the fireman, Blake Treinen. You're going to come in key situations anytime after the fifth inning, whenever we need you to get big outs in maybe some situations that are less desirable than coming in with nobody on and nobody out. So, you know, it's very clear what the roles are. Andrew Friedman, you know, it's very clear what his role is. I'm sure that the three assistant GMs before, they knew what their role was. Now Brandon Gomes knows what his role is, and I'm sure anybody under him knows what their role is. And it's all, you know, structured. And I think we need to kind of just step back and see that. And yes, obviously, you know, the Lakers and Dodgers are probably the top two teams in Los Angeles, with the Lakers being the top overall team. But I do think there's been a little bit of a paradigm shift in the last 10 years or so. Not too much, because the Lakers did end up winning. You know, Lakers did have won the same amount of titles in that time span as the Dodgers, although the Dodgers have clearly had more success in general, with 9 straight playoff appearances, 8 straight division titles, and being in the World Series a few times. Should have had 2 titles. So the shift has, I think it's been starting a little bit. You definitely hear a lot more Laker fans complaining, at least in general, at least for me, what I've noticed. You know, you start to see the cracks in the Buss family foundation. You start to see the cracks in the Lakers foundation. And honestly, if LeBron hadn't chosen the Lakers, I don't know where they'd be right now. Obviously, they would have, you know, some of these players that are thriving in other roles, but those guys didn't thrive in Los Angeles for whatever reason, you know, whether it was age, whether it was going to happen regardless. You know, was D'Angelo Russell going to become an all-star regardless? I don't know. Was Brandon Ingram going to become an all-star regardless of leaving the Lakers or not? Julius Randle, I don't know. But it's a matter of, you know, stability and knowing everything. And I don't think the Lakers have that. I don't think the Dodgers do have that. And while I don't think the Dodgers will ever completely overtake Los Angeles, I do think they're in a good spot and have been in a good spot to, like I said, shift it a little bit. Get, not that it matters, they're two different sports and they only overlap a little bit in October. But at the end of the day, you know, you can tell that the Dodgers are the more stable franchise now. It's, you know, more fun to be a Dodger fan. It's definitely, you know, a lot less stressful to not have to worry about all these things, because you know the foundation's strong and you know everything is working right. And I think that sometimes, you know, we've talked about this before, Dodger fans, we take Dodgers right now a little bit for granted. You know, we expect them to be in the playoffs every year. We expect them to be in the NLCS every year. We expect them to be in the World Series every year. And, you know, those expectations are hard to live up to. And the Dodgers have done a pretty good job of living up to them, especially here in the last 5 years with the 3 World Series appearances and the 1 World Series win. But, you know, also it's just a testimony to, you know, what they've built, what they've become. And the fact of the matter is that nobody really expects them to fall off anytime soon. Yeah, they didn't win the division last year, but they won the most games in franchise history, or tied for the most wins in franchise history. And it just took an incredible run by, you know, an opponent to take them out and knock them off that NOS throne. So basically what I'm saying is, you know, if you're a fan of both, you probably, you know, definitely know what I'm talking about. And while you might not say, hey, the Dodgers are, you know, the clear-cut LA team right now, I think you got to definitely, you know, think that, or at least consider that, hey, it shifted a little bit. And I think, you know, as Dodger fans, if you're only a Dodger fan, that can benefit you as well, because, you know, you are the de facto team of a city. You know, you get, it might hurt a little bit in ticket, you know, when you're trying to find tickets or whatever the case, or you're like, oh man, these bandwagon fans or whatever the case is. But in the long run, the more Dodger fans, the better. And, you know, I think it's just definitely shout out to Guggenheim and Andrew Friedman and everybody involved in, you know, kind of making the Dodgers one of the more stable franchises, not just in Los Angeles, but kind of in all of baseball. I you know, there's not, we don't see too many other teams, you know, struggling with a bunch of different stuff, but we also haven't seen any teams making the playoffs for 10 straight years and not having any, you know, leaks about anything. The only time they did have a leak with something in, like, in terms of locker room was when somebody said, well, you had the Molly Knight book talking about Greinke throwing Puig's stuff out of the bus. And then the other thing you had was Yasiel Puig storming off or something in the whatever. There's a Rosenthal report a long time ago. And guess what? Both of those things got handled, and now we don't have any leaks like that anymore in the organization. So it's just a shout out to the Dodgers and just kind of comparing them to the other big team in LA and just kind of see where they're at different times. And yeah, that's all I really wanted to talk about. That's all I got for today. That's just shout out the Dodgers. I mean, shout out the Lakers too, but shout out the Dodgers for being a stable and consistent franchise for right now. And hopefully it remains that way for a long, long, long time. Hopefully forever, you know. But that's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you for making Locked On Dodgers your first listen of the day, every day. We're here wherever you find podcasts and on YouTube, wherever you want to find us, we're there. You can also find us on social media, Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Jeff is on Twitter at Snydog. I'm at Vince Amperio. The DMs are open on all those accounts if you need to get a hold of us. You can also get a hold of us via text or email or voicemail at 323-863-5625 or email lockedondodgers@gmail.com. We're every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be with us when you get in your car or if you're at home. Take your smart device, play a podcast, Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. Have a good one.